Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, December 28th. This is a special day because it's the birthday of two young people that we know right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Joshua Rickard has a happy birthday. Hope he has a happy birthday today. And Nikki Boykin, hope she has a happy birthday today as well. Happy birthday to you fine folk, and I hope that you are blessed of the Lord. It's also Wednesday, which means it's midweek prayer service time at the Island Ford Baptist Church and most places where you might be. We gathered in with Vision Baptist Church last night over in Millers Creek, North Carolina, and I'm not going to be able to be at the Island Ford Baptist Church tonight because I'm not in the state of Kentucky. But if you're in the state of Kentucky, you don't have any excuse, amen, for not being there at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Love to have you come and be with us. Brother Doug Bell will be preaching for us tonight, Lord willing, and so you pray for him. And if you can come out and be with us, service time is at 7 o'clock. I know they'll make you welcome. We'd love to hear that you were there and visited there at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Well, let's go right to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy for such a good God as you. Lord, I want to thank you for being that. Lord, I pray now that you'd bless the broadcast. Lord, I pray you'd touch and meet needs. Lord, you can do more in a matter of moments than all that mankind can do in eons of time. Father, I want to thank you. You're so great and good. But Lord, I pray you'd save sinners. Lord, I pray for those on our prayer list that we're calling their name out to you every day, that you might save them by your good grace. Father, I pray that you would sanctify the saints. Help us to draw closer to you, love you more. Bless the broadcast, Lord, we pray. Have your way in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. Now, I'm going to do what I did yesterday. I'm going to slip in an extra song by our family that I trust might be a blessing. This is one I believe is very effective for this time of year. It talks about how great it is to serve a living God. I'm glad I've got a real God. Well, amen. I trust that was a blessing to you, and I appreciate the Sugar Grove Singers. They've been a blessing here to the listeners at WSOF and WAJJ Radio, and we're grateful for them singing that song for us, and we're being able to play it there on the radio. And it's a blessing to be able to keep remembering the fact that the angels sang these praises unto our God. We're looking in the scriptures now at Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8 is where we're taking our text. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest." Amen. Well, friends, I know that Christmas is already past. I recognize that. But we're still talking about this wondrous gift that God gave of His Son. Hallelujah. And we're talking about this song which the angels sang. And I'll be honest with you, the more I've preached about it, the more I've thought about it, the more I've rejoiced, amen, in just this beautiful picture that God's painted of the shepherds getting the good news from these heavenly hosts as they praised God and said, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Amen. And I've been talking about how this affected us, how it must have affected those men as they heard that there on that hillside, as they listened to the angels sing, as they watched in anticipation and saw the joy on the face of the angels, heard the praise and saw that just the jubilation that was in these angels as they sang that good news and told that good news. And I ended up yesterday's broadcast talking about how that there's some emotions that ought to stir within us when we think about these angels' song. We ought to have happiness and joy, and we ought to have faith and confidence in the message. Well, I got to talking about how that somebody could come to you and tell you that somebody left you a fortune, and yet because of the look on their face, because of the solemnity of their speech, the sadness of their countenance, you might just laugh at them in their face and reject outright what they had to say because they don't look like they really believe what they're saying. But if somebody comes bursting into the room with a smile and a grin from ear to ear and laughter down in their throat and coming out of their voice, and you recognize they're rejoicing, they're saying, my friend, you're a wealthy man because so-and-so just left you a pile of money, then you'd say, well, he seems to be happy about it. I might ought to check into it. I might ought to investigate that. And so I was talking about how that God did not send some ugly-looking, dark-looking, angry-looking creature from heaven, if there be such creatures in heaven. God did not send them down to tell this good news, but he sent a glowing-faced, shining-faced angel and a host of heaven, the Bible said. It's as if that one angel could not carry such good news. It was such a grand tale that one angel could not carry it on his own, or else that one angel, when he started to tell it, the news started to break forth. All the angels had to tell it. It was such a wonderful story and such good news, and brought such glory to God. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, when we hear the good news, I remember when I was a little boy sitting in the Baptist church there at Chestnut Grove Independent Baptist Church on Murdy Road in Millers Creek, North Carolina. I remember hearing the good news. Preachers would preach about heaven. Preachers would preach about hell. Listen, I remember when I was a boy, it seemed like every revival service, there would be at least one message just on hell. And in that message, I mean, buddy, you felt like you was going there because you knew that's where you deserved to go. You knew you didn't have any right to heaven, no claim on heaven. And there's judgment in the preacher's voice and judgment in our own condemnation in our own heart and spirit. And the Spirit of God reproved us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I remember those days. But then that message would turn from talking to us about our condemnation. That message would turn towards Calvary. Hallelujah. And point us to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And can I tell you, when I heard that good news, something inside of me, I'm talking about the human part of me, said, I don't know. It sounds almost too good to be true. I don't know if God could have mercy on someone like me. I don't know if I ought to believe this message. But I'm going to tell you, God's messengers ought to have such a joy and such a confidence in the truth that they're telling that it could be heard from their lips and believed by those that hear it. We ought to joyously tell the good news. Amen. And I remember the preacher that preached to me in those days as he told me about salvation and told me about Calvary, told me that he had made the trip himself. Hallelujah. That he had found himself a sinner and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and found Christ ready and able to save, and it gave me some confidence, and it gave me some hope in my own life. Amen. I want to say, as one of the songs says, I know, yes, I know that Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Oh, yes, I know. Oh, yes, I know. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. You know how I know it? Because he saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. Amen. I want to thank God for salvation and allowing me to taste of it and allowing me now to try to recommend that to others. And I went off the program yesterday recommending Jesus to you. Friend, if you're out there and you don't know the Lord, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may be confused about what's going on. You may be confused about what to believe. Should you believe in Buddha? Should you believe in Muhammad? Should you believe in somebody else, Joseph Smith or Charles Taz Russell, or you just name it. And we got people out there that's believing in everything. There's people that pray to Elvis Presley. There's people that pray to John F. Kennedy. I just heard the other day on one of the programs here on WSOF, they was talking about a temple that was built to a president that had died, and Brother Steve checked it out. There's a temple in California built to the memory of John F. Kennedy that says they believe that John F. Kennedy is the Messiah and that he's coming back one of these days to rescue those that will pray to him. Listen, friend, that is a lie. That is not the truth. And man nobody's ever been saved praying to John F. Kennedy. Doesn't matter how good a man you think he was or what you think about him. Nobody ever got saved praying to John F. Kennedy. Nobody ever got saved praying to Elvis Presley. Nobody ever got saved praying to Buddha. Nobody ever got saved praying to Muhammad. Nobody ever got saved praying to Mary. Nobody ever got saved praying to the saints. Nobody ever got saved praying to the Pope. The only salvation, there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can recommend him. I can say to you, I know he works. I know salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ works because I've been saved from my sin. Amen. I've been purchased. Amen. Now listen, friend, you may be afraid lest God is about to destroy you. I'm telling you, the judgment of God may be hanging over your head, and you may think God would never have mercy upon the likes of you. I want you to look in our text at Luke chapter 2 and see the angel singing and see if you dare to doubt. Amen. Amen. Listen, you don't have to go to that synagogue of those long-faced hypocrites and hear some minister get up that preaches with a nasal twang and misery on his face while he tries to tell you that God has goodwill toward men. You won't believe that. You don't believe what he says because you see that his countenance shows that he doesn't believe what he says. He's telling you the good news with a grunt, and you're not very likely to receive it. But I'm telling you, go right there to Bethlehem and listen to what those shepherds are listening to. Sit by those shepherds tonight. Listen to the angels singing out the gospel. And by the grace of God, you cannot help but believe that what these angels are saying is precious and is true. And you can believe it and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can believe that God has goodwill toward men. These angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, look around us. Look in the wide world around us. Do you see peace? First of all, I don't see that God's honored. I don't see God getting the glory he deserves. Rather, I see heathen bowing down before their idols. I mark the Romanist as he falls down in front of his relics, the ugly figures of the images that they've made idols of. I look around me and I see tyranny lording it over the bodies and souls of men. I see God forgotten. I see a world racing and pursuing after mammon. I see a bloody race pursuing Mohammed and chopping people's heads off that don't believe in him. I see ambition riding like Jehu over the land. God is forgotten, his name is defiled, and he is dishonored. There's not glory to God in this world. Is there? Is that what the angels were singing about? Is that what made them sing glory to God? And I said, oh, no. They wasn't looking around the world and seeing the sin and degradation that's in the world. They is looking to glory and seeing God's goodwill toward men. And they is looking in the manger. And they're seeing that a brighter day is approaching. And so they sang peace on earth, not peace today, right during the clamor of war, during the horrible roar of the weapons of war. They could turn and look towards heaven and look towards the future and know that there will one day be peace on earth. Right now, they're not beating their swords into plowshares. Oh, no. But that day will come. Right now, they're making their plowshares their swords. And they're making weapons out of things not meant to be weapons. You know why? Because war reigns. Because men have not allowed the Lord to reign in their heart. I want to ask you again, is that what the angels sang about? I see the wars one day will end. Amen. One day what these angels said will come about. But these angels' song is a prophecy. It is a big prophecy. And it's just as if it's waiting, that the whole creation is groaning for that day to come when the glory of God be shed and spread abroad on this earth and the peace of God reign over this earth. I don't know when it'll be. It could be this year before this year's out. It could be today. It could be next year. It could be a few more years from now. But I'm going to say this. One of these days, he that shall come and will not tarry. Amen. Amen. Or he that will come shall come and will not tarry. Christ, our Lord, is coming again. And when he comes, he's going to cast all the idols down from their pedestals. He's going to dash down every heresy, every idolatry, every form of ungodliness and wickedness and false religion in the world. And he's going to reign from pole to pole, from the north to the south, from the east to the west, in an unlimited sway, our Lord shall reign. Amen. One of these days the heavens are going to pass away as a scroll, and Jesus Christ is going to reign forever and forever. Listen, friend, there'll be no strife that'll mar our Lord's reign. No blood will then be shed. They'll hang the helmet of war. They'll hang it high and study war no more. Amen. The hour is approaching when the temples of the false gods will be shut forever, when the cruel devils will be booted from the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. The day is coming when the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the leopard shall lie down with a kid, when the weaned child shall put his hand upon the cockatrice den and play with the asp. Amen. That day is coming when the desert will bloom and blossom as a rose. The hour is coming. I believe the first streaks of that golden sunlight of that day may be soon approaching. Hallelujah. They may be about to burst upon the earth. Jesus is coming. The trumpet's going to sound, and the clouds of glory are going to descend, and our Lord's going to come forth, first to rapture his church, and then to come back in the revelation to set things right. Hallelujah. He's coming to get his redeemed, and he's coming to the confusion of his enemy. My friend, when the angels sang, there was an echo down the long corridors of eternity to the glorious future, and that echo said, Hallelujah, Christ the Lord God omnipotent shall reign. Amen. Christ the Lord omnipotent reigneth. Amen. Jesus is coming. Are you ready to meet him? Have you called on the Lord and been saved by his grace?